Well, thank you, Becky. Maybe you would tell us just a little bit about libraries and the role that they played in your childhood, and if something about those libraries.
Well, I grew up in Southern Oregon, and I was the youngest of four, and we did not, we were all big readers, but we did not have a lot of money, especially money to buy books. And so I made weekly visits to the library, especially in the summers, and then I used my school library during the school year. But I would go get a big armload of books, bring them home, read through them, take them back the next week, and that was just such a key part of my life. I can remember my only disappointment with the library growing up was that they did not carry Nancy Drew books because they were not considered good enough literature at that time. And that was such a disappointment to me because we could not afford to buy them. And I just loved those books. But the other thing really about libraries too is all of us in my family were big readers. And my mom talked about how she always wanted to work in a library. And she never got that opportunity because she got married, you know, right at the end of World War II and then started having children. And but the four of us all ended up working in libraries.
Wow, that's amazing.
My oldest sister worked for a while at a presidential library. My brother worked at an academic library when he was a college student at the University of Oregon, actually. And my other sister worked for several years as a school librarian. But I got to work at a public library, which I think is the best of that group. And I am the one who ended up making it a career. So
her dream lived through you.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Are there people that you associate in your childhood with that library besides your family?
I really don't have too many memories of actually the library staff there. But just knowing that it was a place that I could go to and get whatever I wanted to read. And I read through all the horse books in those shelves and all the Black Stallion books. And I do remember that it seemed to be open when I wanted to go. So it's kind of sad now because, you know, Southern Oregon now is really struggling with their libraries. And that has just broken my heart because that was my growing up library.
Were you in rural Southern Oregon?
I was in mainly in Grants Pass when I was a young child and through grade school and into middle school. So, and that area has really, really struggled.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember the physical space at all of the library? A couple of people have really talked about sort of that sense of the physical space. And others, it didn't really register. It was more the books.
I think it was more the books. I have vague memories of it being just kind of this big room with books all along the walls more, I think, in the children's area. But other than that, I really don't. Mm-hmm. So I think I mostly had my nose in the books.
So is Multnomah County Library the next sort of big library in your life from there?
It definitely is. I actually started at the library 25 years ago this September, and so in 1989. And I came into the library with a background in human resources, so I started in the human resources office here at the library. And the then library director had just left. The library was kind of in this very much a state of transition, both with a new director, you know, an interim director, executive director at the time. And also the whole issue of governance was really at play. I knew none of that when I came in the doors. I was there to do recruitment and screening for library pages and clerks, and also manage the library benefits program. So I started in and was just trying to meet people and get acquainted with what I needed to be doing in those first few months. And then all this conversation started happening about the library, the library's governance and funding and who was going to be the new director. And so it was a rather chaotic beginning. But one of the interesting things was that I was thinking about as I was thinking about this interview was when I started here, just the scope of changes, you know, of course, that you see over those many years, and realizing that out of the library's 150 years, I've been here for 25 of those, so a good chunk that was kind of mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. So when I started here, the library was still governed by the Library Association of Portland. The bookmobile was still in operation. There was a film department at the Central Library. The due dates were still stamped in the books. And I worked in the HR section giving typing tests to page and clerk applicants. So things have certainly changed since then. And all of our communication was done with memos and phone calls and face-to-face meetings. So just looking at how the scope of work has changed, much less the scope of library services over that time. It's been really dramatic. So,
and much larger. I mean, the expanse of the library, right?
Right.
That was through the changes into neighborhood libraries and more.
Right.
And is that right? Or?
Yes. It's the areas that I particularly have witnessed expanding where we were able to open some new library locations, but also just the whole area of outreach programs and the whole services to children and to youth. When I started here, that whole area was just starting. Jenny Cooper, when she came in as director in 1990, that was really an area of focus for her. And we really put a lot of resources and attention into that area. And so when I started, I think we had one or two people in youth outreach. And now there's about 20. Mm. So it's been a dramatic increase. The interesting thing was a few years ago, I went to a conference at another library, and their library director was welcoming people and then talked a little bit about their efforts in early childhood and how they were so proud of it. And they had just kind of started their efforts. And I thought, wow, we've been doing that for years. You know,
yeah.
So that's a real point of pride, I think, for us, that we have made that such a big emphasis for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully really had a positive impact on the community in that regard.
Are there other aspects that you see that have really dramatically changed from that point 25 years ago to today that, you know, when you look at it, you think, gosh, that just was barely even there, or that was larger and has now grown smaller?
Well, the one major area, of course, has been in the whole area of technology, and also kind of related to that, the formats that we provide for people. When I first started, we were still, people could check out LPs and art, and I'm trying to think what else, that, you know, films. And then eventually, you know, we moved to VHS and then DVDs and each of those, it's always kind of a struggle as to when do you finally bring a certain format to an end and when do you start with the new one and trying to gauge that at the right time and place. And then there are always those people who, you know, never want to see us give up any format. That's always a little bit painful. And so that's always an interesting process. And, of course, the movement to electronic materials, the databases that we now have, and then the whole ebook and streaming and all of those resources that, of course, we didn't even dream about 25 years ago. And then just the whole movement to providing access to people, internet access, PCs, email, all of that. I can remember years ago sitting in a meeting, I hate to even guess when it was, probably the late 90s, and we had passed a bond measure, and part of it was for technology, and this whole thing about making the internet available to people. And I can remember sitting there thinking, I'm not really even sure what that is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now trying to imagine our world without it. And people, I'm so grateful that we did realize that that was something that we needed to do, because I think that has played a really important role in the community for those who don't have access. And so continuing to keep our eyes on that, where are those gaps for those people who just really don't have access otherwise, and being very mindful of that in the past and as we move into the future.
Do you think the sort of general public's relationship to the library in turn has changed? I know some of the funding streams and levels of funding change, but do you think, when you consider what people's relationship to this library was 25 years ago, does that look different?
I think it has always been and continues to remain very, very strong, that this community has always understood and valued the role of the library in the community, and I have really gotten to witness that because part of my role, especially for about the last, oh my, I don't even know how many years, about 18 years, has been directly involved in the library's budget and financial overview and outlook, and seeing the public's ongoing and repeated support for funding measures when we've needed them and asked for them has always been very heartwarming and validating and humbling. And the funding roller coaster that the library has been through ever since I started, it was, we have to find a more stable source of funding, because when I came, we were already in the levy cycle of having that be such a major part of our funding. And so seeing several efforts and kind of being in behind the scenes, helping to work on those efforts and staff those efforts when community groups came together, citizen groups came together to try and fashion another method for library funding and trying to help move that forward in my role. It was one of those things where you thought, I'm not sure this is ever going to happen. And then in the last few years, when we actually did experience that, getting to bring the district measure to the voters and seeing that get approved has just been an amazing experience and such a gift to the community. And I view that as such a gift and also such a responsibility to use that money in a wise fashion that will continue to make the library responsive to the needs of the community. I still kind of pinch myself that it actually all lined up, that we were able to do that. But I always knew, you know, of course, it was a hard process and it was a political process, and we always knew the right people would have to be in the right roles at the time. Whatever time we managed to move it forward to help make that happen, and we were fortunate enough that that took place. But I always knew that if we could manage to get it in front of the voters, there was a very good chance of it succeeding because of that level of support. And to see that come to fruition was definitely the high point of my career here, and something I'm just still so thrilled about. So it's been great.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting to think what was so unique about that time.
Yes.
So if you look at sort of your own just personal relationship to the library and through that time, do you think it's changed? In a real sort of individual way in how you access it and think about it? And
well, you know, I came to this library already with a strong love for libraries in general, but you know, definitely this library now has such a place in my heart. I still get a kind of a thrill every time I walk into the Central Library, and because it's such a unique treasure in the community, and I still get that feeling of, I can't believe I get to work for this place. And I look at our boardroom here in the admin building and those historical records, every now and then I have a work-related reason to dig into those and to just see the work of the people that came before us, and to get to be part of an institution that now has been around for 150 years and that people have worked really hard over the years to expand the services, to make them really relevant to the community and responsive, and to get to think that I've gotten to play a small part in that. And now, as you know, I'm looking toward the end of my career, knowing that in the next few years I will hopefully get to retire. And just to have that feeling that I got to work for a place that is so well-loved, and just, again, to get to play a small part in that and helping to hopefully get it in a sustainable place moving forward, that it will continue to be here for another 150 years, playing a major role in this community. It's just such a gift to get to be part of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when you look toward that future, what would you envision or like to see in that future, even after you retire? Or
I would love to see us have more space. That's, you know, we have such a small footprint in our library buildings. So that's always kind of our lament. If we only had a little more space, we could do so much more. But that, you know, has not stopped us, and I don't think it will stop us into the future. We will hopefully find ways to make our spaces as flexible as they can be as we move into the future. Spaces that people still feel very welcome and at home in, and where they can engage and feel comfortable and just enjoy. And then also, how do we continue to reach out into the community and be at the table where we can really contribute in other ways, maybe that people don't originally think of when they think of the library, but in other corners of the community where we are doing outreach and just being involved in the conversations about what's needed in the community moving forward, especially with schools and with our partners and how the library can play a role. And then also, of course, thinking about how do we make our services even more available virtually for people, so that they don't necessarily have to come into a building, but they can still access the library and what it has to offer in the ways that are most convenient and helpful to them. But I hope we will always have a place in the community, because I do think the library's role in providing a place where citizens can come together and share opinions and talk about books or current issues or whatever else they want to talk about and engage in, that those places are still there for them.
You mean ways, physical?
Physical places, yeah. That are, mm-hmm. that are inviting and welcoming and useful for people.
Right.
So it's quite it's an exciting and challenging time. We have the foundation now of stable funding, so that removes one big element for us that was so uncertain in the past, and it provides the ability to really think about the future in much more thoughtful and planful ways, and so that's very exciting. We don't have a clear crystal ball. But I think we will continue to engage the community about how they want to see their library grow and change into the future. And I think we will try and provide them with some ideas and some goals, and yet also still really focus on the library's unique role of value, which for us we've been able to define in three pillars, which we think will never change. And I brought those with me because these just really resonate, I think, for us. And the first one I've kind of already referred to, which is free access for all, and really providing that no matter what someone's station in life is or what their interest is, that they can find something that they'll be interested in at their library or the information that they need. And the second one is a trusted guide for learning. That is a role of value that we will continue to play no matter what the library looks like. And then the third is the leading advocate for reading, because no matter what the format is, we're still reading. And this is a very community that loves to read, and I think that will always be true, and we always want to play a major role in that. So it's exciting to think about what the future might hold.
It seems like within each of those, there's an inherent tension.
Right.
And challenges.
But keeping those as our focus kind of helps us remember that, you know, the methods, the formats, the different ways we do things may change.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we stay focused on those three elements, we're always going to have a role to play here in the community that is different, a little bit different than everybody else. And that's what we were really, when we did this work to get to these, we were really trying to land on what is the library's unique role of value that no one else really has in this community. And those were the three that we came up with that I think will stand the test of time,
mm-hmm.
have stood the test of time, and will stand the test of time into the future.
Right, right. You talked about some partnerships with the broader community that you're hoping to focus on and work on. Are there ones in particular that you're thinking of, or just sort of in a broad way? Or?
We have lots and lots of different groups that we work with. The ones that I work with the most closely, of course, are the ones who are most closely tied to us, which are the Library Foundation, the Friends of the Library, and our Library Advisory Board. And those, of course, are all the Friends of the Library, of course, is just a citizen grassroots group that started in the early 70s when we first started having funding challenges. And so they did a lot of advocacy around all the different funding elections over the years. So their role is going to change a little bit too now that the funding is stabilized, but they still play a very important role for us. The Library Foundation, of course, is our primary fundraising arm. And that is critically important as those funds can help enhance the publicly funded programs and services that we provide to a level that we may not be able to do otherwise. And then the Library Advisory Board, of course, is our citizen board that just gives citizen input on as we think about new ways and services and our budgeting process and all of that, that they can provide that oversight and input into what we're doing.
Right.
And help provide recommendations. Then there are lots of other groups that we connect with, and several pages worth, in fact, that at various levels that we connect with throughout the community, much, of course, with the school districts, Head Start programs, other county agencies where we partner up to help reach people. Much of this is connected with our youth outreach because we are trying to reach people. Children wherever they are, especially the children that are at risk in our community. And so partnering up with other social service agencies really helps us get to some of those children that we may not otherwise.
And is the focus, I'm just curious, this is, it's more, I guess, a personal curiosity, still on balancing sort of the concrete book with the virtual world when doing outreach? Is it still trying to get both out there?
The outreach is, especially with kids, the idea is to get books in their hands. So you will see, especially in this building, we have more than a couple of hundred thousand books stored here, actually at our library admin building, almost actually closer to 300,000. Some of those are for our adult patrons through our outreach services. For people who can't physically get to a library, but many of them are paperback books that we're trying to get in the hands of kids. So we have people, both volunteers and staff, who are visiting right now free lunch programs wherever they can find kids in the parks, and then of course during the school year in the school or in after school programs, but always with the goal of getting actual books in kids' hands.
It's so funny because in the different interviews that I've done with people or talking to different people, hearing how much the physical book, going to the library, the stories about the book, and how meaningful books have been in people's lives at the same time as people talk about it, it's just incredible. I can go online and I can order and I can reserve and it's fascinating to wonder what that story will look like 150 years down the line, you know?
Absolutely.
What will be the things that ground people in their libraries?
Right, right. And trying to suss that out right now is a little tricky.
exactly.
Trying to even figure out what it's going to look like 5 years from now is rather mind-boggling, but very interesting. And in fact, the person who does our oversees our collection of library materials and that whole group that does the ordering and processing and cataloging and all of that, we've started having some conversations about how do we best determine when those tipping points are going to happen and what are the markers that we kind of set in place to say, okay, it's time to kind of ramp down in this area and increase the buying through this method or this area as the years go by so that we're, you know, really matching the collection to what people are using and doing and all of that. So we keep the collection in the way that people want to see it. And there will always, I think, at least for the foreseeable future, be some tension between the physical and the electronic. And we don't have any plan in place in the back of our minds that this is the way it's going to be. We're just trying to be as responsive as we can be as we look into the very near future.
Yeah, I imagine it's quite a challenge.
Yes, it is. And just really watching how people are using the collection and what they're accessing. And we are seeing some definite shifts start to happen. So really being very mindful of that, and we do look at those numbers on a very regular basis so that we can see how things are changing. And we've also gotten some tools in recently where we can analyze the collection to greater detail than we've been able to in the past and really see what's happening location by location. Mm-hmm. So that's going to make for some interesting conversations in the next few years about how we tailor collections and both physical and virtual.
Yeah. A conversation that's being had, I think, in a lot of different places.
Yes. Yes. Certainly not unique here. Our peer libraries across the country and across the world are dealing with these same conversations. And so part of what we do, obviously, is really watch what are other libraries doing, what's working for them, and just keeping an eye on what's going on in general.
Right.
In the library world. So
I'm wondering if, if you have things that you were thinking you wanted to talk about that we didn't get to. But I was also curious about if you wanted to talk a little bit about how your life's just been different, or what your life might have been without a library.
Wow. I can hardly imagine my life without a library. When I was little, the joke in my family was that they could hardly get my attention when I had my nose in a book. And it's just, part of the reason I ended up where I have with the library is because of having some, I ended up getting a degree in literature, one of those really useful degrees, little knowing that I would end up at the library. But I think it really helped me develop writing skills that I wouldn't have had otherwise, because I was such a voracious reader. Well, I still am, but especially as a child, I think that so helps kids develop their ability to write. And, I wouldn't have ended up where I am without that ability. Little did I know when I walked in these doors for the first time almost 25 years ago that I would end up in the position where I am today, that I would be here 25 years later. It's just been an amazing journey. I've gotten to work with so many amazing people. I feel so blessed in that, I think a lot of people love their work and I love my job, but I also love the fact that I get to work for an institution that I can feel so good about and get to hear those stories. I'm not on the front lines. I don't get to have very often those face-to-face interactions with patrons, but I get to hear the stories, and I get to see the amazing things that our employees do day after day. And just to be a part of that experience has just been such a gift and a blessing in my life. That I will just always treasure. And, I look forward to retirement just so I can spend more time with my family, but I think, ooh, it's going to be probably a much bigger adjustment than I realize because of what an experience this has been for me in my life and in the career that I never planned but was fortunate enough to get to have in this place.
Yeah. I would bet.
So it's been quite a journey, and one that I just count as such a privilege and an honor to get to be part of.
Yeah, I think the library is a pretty incredible place. It's for, I'm sure people have, we all have our sort of ins and outs about it, but, fundamentally as an institution, it's hard to find a downside.
Yeah.
It's like that's a great place to support and grow.
Yes.
Like that.
So my plan is to volunteer in some way, shape, or form.
There you go. You're like, I'm coming back.
I'll still do something.
Yeah. So did you have thoughts that you wanted to share, or images or memories, anything that you didn't get a chance to?
I have such a, you know, kaleidoscope of memories from my years here, and many of them are the faces of the people that I've worked with over the years, the library directors I've worked under, the different people from the community who have served on the library advisory board or who were part of different funding task forces who were trying to find a solution for the library's temporary funding, and just all the kind of the ups and downs of that whole journey. Those memories will always be really amazing. And then I think about all the renovations and the different building projects that we've also gotten to do over the years. And I particularly remember when Central Library closed and we went in and did a garage sale and auction. That was a really fun experience. And I got to work at that on a Saturday, I think. And just the joy that people got out of getting some of the old pieces of furniture that we auctioned off, little wooden step stools and chairs and card catalogs, and people were so excited to get a piece of that of the Central Library, and just the joy of seeing new buildings open and people's excitement at the opening days and, you know, the groundbreaking ceremonies, all of those, getting to be part, witness to all of that has been just really a joy too.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing the individual stories connected with buildings. Mm-hmm. One of the people we talked to just talked about sort of the whole Carnegie Building mm-hmm. history and noticing the architecture. And, you know, you realize that libraries are in physical structures, mm-hmm. and then there's the people within them mm-hmm. and the stories around that, and then the books. And it's this beautiful layered
world. Yes, it is. And just the ownership that people experience, and that's, we want them to feel that way. It is their library, and I think about that all the time, and it is their money, and again, I just see it as such a gift and such a responsibility to make sure that we are doing the best we can to use those dollars as wisely as possible for as long into the future as possible, so this library will continue to be here.
Well, I hope so as well.
Yes.
If you don't have anything else, we can close.
That's about it for me. But thank you
so much.
Thank you for the opportunity.